Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this evening is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, a single verse, verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who prays for sinners and who also urges them to pray, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. Why don't people listen? Why don't people pay attention? I wonder this from time to time, especially when I see certain parking signs. No parking, fire lane. And yet there's a bunch of cars parked there. Danger, cliff. Do not cross fence. And there's someone on the other side of the fence looking down. Break wall, stay off in severe weather. And yet we have to have a fence because people still won't stay off in foul weather. Why don't people listen? Why don't they pay attention? Do they think the danger is meant for someone else? It isn't just the street signs either. When we read the Old Testament scriptures, we may wonder the same thing. On a number of occasions, God specifically forbade one particular thing, only to have his people do that very thing. The examples abound. God said, "Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Adam and Eve ate. God warned the Israelites upon entering the promised land, don't let your children marry into existing Canaanite nations because they will be tempted to adopt their false gods and be turned from me. They let their children marry the Canaanites anyway. God warned the Israelites not to forsake him for other false gods. They did anyway. Why don't people listen? Why don't people pay attention? Did the Israelites think it really didn't apply to them or that it wouldn't happen to them? This evening we take up yet another prayer uttered during the passion or suffering of Jesus. We have thus far heard Jesus' prayer for Peter and for his disciples. We have heard Jesus pray for himself. And this evening we will hear Jesus urge his disciples and us to pray. He will tell us why it is so vital that we stay alert and pray. We may think that we can handle the temptation, that the sign doesn't really apply to us. But that's far from the truth. We'll come to see that one of the greatest hindrances to an active prayer life is simply our own self-confidence and sinful pride. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, help us to see and to begin by admitting our weakness, our inability, and then come to Jesus for the strength to stand when tempted. Amen. If you take the time to read just the 10 verses that lead up to this, then you may be left asking the same question I just asked. Why don't people listen? Why don't they pay attention? In the upper room already, Jesus told his disciples that one of them would betray him. They were surprised, shocked even. On the way to Gethsemane, Jesus warned them again, saying, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." But rather than accepting soberly Jesus' warning, Simon Peter argued with Jesus. It was as if Peter forgot who he was talking to. Wasn't he paying attention? Jesus, the Son of God, just got done saying that all of them would stumble. But Peter replied, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Now, Jesus didn't respond as we might. "Who do you think you're talking to, young man?" Jesus turned to Peter personally and warned him of what lay ahead of him just hours away. He would deny Jesus three times before a rooster could sound off twice. But once more, instead of accepting the warning, Simon Peter corrected his master again. And the rest of the disciples agreed with Peter and did the same. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Didn't they listen? Why didn't they pay attention? But before we mount the mountain of hypocrisy ourselves, we ought to ask ourselves the same question. Why don't we listen? Why don't we pay attention? Oh, but we do, right? Our God warns us beforehand about the nature of our enemies through the Apostle Paul. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our God tells us up front that our enemies are not like us, not flesh and blood, but spiritual hosts of wickedness. Our enemies won't show up on our security cameras on the front door. Satan and his host are invisible spirits. Moreover, we are warned to be watchful because our enemies are led by a dangerous spiritual carnivore. You know the words. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if that weren't enough, we're warned that there's a traitor within each one of us, a fallen nature that opposes the things of God. And yet, despite this, all of these warnings, all of the signs, we daily plunge into our lives without so much as a thought for our enemies. We swipe through our Facebook feeds without the least concern that the enemy may be approaching us through that means. We watch the news, television, movies, without so much as a thought that sin could be paraded before our eyes and placed into our hearts and minds. In fact, the enemy may pass on evil thoughts into our hearts by means of familiar music. How often doesn't that happen? Are we alert? Or are we indifferent? Are we listening? Are we paying attention? In contrast to our blindness to the danger, our refusal to seek help before temptation comes, our Lord Jesus was different. Jesus knew the trials that would come upon him and upon his disciples, so what did he do? He prepared. And he warned his disciples. He prepared himself by means of prayer. You heard about it last Wednesday night. Seeking help and support as a man from his heavenly Father. He even asked his disciples just to sit with them. Just to be with him. To at least support him by watching and staying awake. But they couldn't even do that. It was after a gentle rebuke of the Savior that Jesus spoke the words that are before us this evening. He urged them to do the very thing that he had been doing all along. The very thing that we earnestly ourselves need to do. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Now, I don't know about you, but when I am dealing with a problem, a stressful situation, I tend to think only of myself. I tend to focus on what I'm going through, how I'm feeling. I can't seem to look beyond myself, not for a minute. So don't miss the love of Jesus here. We know all that he was going through. The scripture tells us that he admitted himself to be sorrowful to the point of death. He earnestly prayed for strength and for help from the Heavenly Father, according to the letter to the Hebrews, with great cries. And despite all of this, He was concerned for his disciples. He wasn't self-centered, as I often am, but was concerned for others. In fact, if you think about it, that's why he was going to the cross, not for himself, but for the sake of his disciples and for the rest of humanity, the rest of us that can't pay attention or read the signs. Jesus didn't want his disciples to face their trial alone. He wanted them to seek strength from above. After all, that's where our prayers are addressed, above our Heavenly Father. He wanted them to be prepared, to be strengthened, to be sure when the hardest time came that God was still with them to support them. And he didn't only speak these words to Peter, but to James and John as well, because the plural is used. He urged them all to keep on watching and to keep on praying so that they might not enter into the test unprepared. You see, Jesus didn't have a fallen nature to contend with like you and me. That's right, he was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. He didn't have a sinful nature. For us, tests to our faith and temptations to sin don't only come from the outside into our eyes and into our minds. Sin for us comes from within. That's why Jesus teaches us in the familiar prayer to seek help from above by asking, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And in so praying, we are asking that God either keep temptation away from us altogether or give us the strength to endure it when it comes. It wasn't just Peter and James and John that needed to watch and pray. We do too. How often doesn't it happen that we are tempted to sin when our minds are unoccupied, when our thoughts are wandering? Often don't we find ourselves turned away from the things of God to the things of sin when we're simply lying about? God, help us to be on our guard, to watch and to pray. In fact, I want you to consider this evening that the one thing that really hinders us from prayer is very often our own sinful pride. Think about this just for a second. We sometimes don't even want to ask help from other human beings concerning earthly things that we really need help with. We believe that we can take care of ourselves, that we can fix our own problems, that we can get out of our own messes. Thank you very much. And so that's often what we try to do in spiritual things too. We first try to take care of it or handle it on our own. And when we fail, then we seek help in prayer. Instead of preparing, instead of watching and praying, we think that we can handle it. We imagine, like Peter, that, oh, everyone else might, but I'm not gonna. It won't happen to me. You're wrong, Lord. And the trouble began for the disciples when? When they didn't listen to Jesus. When they didn't pay attention to his warnings. We can see for ourselves from Scripture and from our own personal experience what happens when we start out like that. It never ends well. What is the foundational problem? Why is it so vital that we watch and pray beforehand? It's because our personal desire, our perceived strength, cannot defeat temptation to sin. The power does not lie within us. Not my opinion. We don't want to hear it, but we need help. More than help. We need strength from above. And that's why the Savior himself says what he does. He explains the root problem when he says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, of course, we're familiar with the fact that we human beings are two parts. Soul, part you can't see. Body, the part you can. Jesus isn't talking about those two parts here. As Christians, we are also two parts. We are spirit and we are flesh. We are new man and old man. We are faith and sinful nature. As those who have been born again, made spiritually alive through faith in Jesus, part of us wants to do what pleases God. The spirit is indeed willing. We want to show our Heavenly Father our thanks for what He has done for us in His Son. But our desire to do that is often hindered by that other part of us, our flesh. No, not the body, but our fallen nature. We want to watch and pray, but our sinful natures distract us, turn us away from God, to self and to sin, make us self-centered rather than Christ-centered. It isn't just that our flesh is weak. I know that's what the translation says here, but Jesus said literally, without power. It isn't just that we need a vitamin or a little boost now and then. It is that we are literally without strength, without power, without ability. If we are to face temptation, we'll have to do it with someone else's strength, namely the strength of God. And praise be to God that He provides us that strength. Where? Through word and sacrament. There, the armor of God is provided to us. There, our faith is strengthened in Christ's sacrifice. There, we are equipped for temptation, for the day of the trial. As it is written, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You know, it's even in that Bible passage. It's about preparing for temptation before it comes. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. May God, by His Spirit, help us to listen carefully to His Word, to pay attention when He warns us about our weakness and about the danger, to prepare for the temptation before it comes by watchfulness and prayer, by His Word, and by His sacrament. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.